Okay. So it has been a really long time since I started OpenChange. My first Samba experience in 2005 when we came with basically nothing but a few Xcode and capture that we were trying to intercept, and the help of several of the Samba team members that guided us across several problems that we would have had if we've started on our own. So it has been really, we've made a lot of progress for all of the past years, starting with the MAPI clients and next the MAPI server. And we promised years ago that we would have a 1.0. I think we promised it for 2008. Well, it's for 2012. I mean, just a 4 years delay. It's acceptable. So here it is. So first of all, for those of you who don't know what OpenChange is, it's a complete drop-in exchange solution replacement that makes two things. The first is that we have a client stack that is used by GNOME Evolution to implement the Exchange RPC protocol and communicate with Exchange from 2003 to 2010. And something that we've been working later because that was a huge effort and we needed to have something working first. So the client stack was really important to us. And we're starting to work on the server. And the main difference with other solutions that tries to replace Exchange is that it works natively with Microsoft Outlook clients from 2003 to 2010 over the Exchange RPC protocol. And so when you mix the client stack and the server, or if you keep using your Outlook clients, you tend to get a solution that can replace Exchange with some limitation that we'll see and would make progress with it. So from the client perspective, basically what it relies on are several Samba4 library, the DCRPC code, the Talloc library, and the LDB-TDB. And when you mix all that with a bit of engineering where we are using our RDL and creating the object, it gives the libmappy part of the OpenChange project that just let people write clients that can communicate with Exchange. So let's say that you want a backup solution, you want to quickly develop a backup solution, you can use this libmappy, or if you want to write your own small command line Outlook client, you can do it. For the server side, if we just take the front side, I mean, what matters when we are talking to Samba, we are relying on the endpoint mapper to the Samba Active Directory, where we are pushing our schema and retrieving all of the different objects regarding the users, and also all the set of libraries that other endpoints or services from Samba may use. And in the end, that gives us the OpenChange server endpoints. So for this year, I tried to do really little slides and a lot of demo. And well, I think we all know that live demo always crashes. So there's going to be some crashes, definitely. It's a 1.0, but with crashes. But I assume it perfectly. So I hope you'll enjoy it. So on my laptop, I do have a virtual machine, this one where we are seeing the slide and where Outlook 2010 runs. And we have an appliance called the Borg appliance, where we have the entire OpenChange server stack running. So we have the Samba4 server running, we have a Bind9, we have Kerberos, we have a Dovet code, a POSFIX, a LDAP. So really the entire set of services that an admin sys would like to deploy when using OpenChange. And if we give a closer look at the other part, I mean beyond the endpoint mapper and our endpoint servers, we have everything goes within, I mean, all of the emails, calendaring, appointments, task notes goes through the EMSMDB endpoint. And from that, we developed a couple of years ago something called MAPI Store, which is some kind of glue which tries to abstract some of the MAPI semantics and try to offer to developers a way of dealing with object where they don't necessarily have to read all of the Microsoft specification just to build a backend. And before, after MAPI store, we have a backend, and actually that's the only known backend to work properly, which is Sogo. And Sogo is a groupware server from a Canadian company. And we are relying on their Sogo libraries, and these Sogo libraries are fetching and pushing objects into different set of services. So we have POSFIX and DVCode, so basically DVCode for the IMAP mailbox, where all of the email from the inbox, send folder, outbox, and stuff like this are stored. POSFIX to push emails to the outside world. There's PostgreSQL, but that could also have been MySQL for all of the calendars, appointments, tasks, notes. And finally, there is a fallback file system. Let's say that Outlook tries to create some very private message that doesn't belong to an IMAP mailbox or which is above the mailbox. You know, you have the root and then you have inbox. If it tries to create something there, then we are going to store that on the file system. And so here starts the trouble for me. So,
yep.
Yeah, yeah, you can consider it this way. Yes, well, you have part of the engineering, which is directly into OpenChange server to deal with the object, to deal with the handles, relationships, about the folder semantics. So you have a huge amount of concept which is directly into the MAPI store and the EMS MDB endpoint, and everything which deals with fetching, storing, pushing messages has been moved to the backend. So basically, you can. I have another example. If we do have some, I show it. It's a dummy, some kind of dummy Python backend that just provides a message, a handwritten, a hard-coded message from the Python backend, and can give back to an Outlook client, to OpenChange client. So. Yeah. Mm. So, I have my note because I have a lot of demos and I don't want to mess with them. So the first one, I do have several accounts created. We're gonna start with the John Doe account. So it has already been set up. And what we see here is that well, I do have access to my appointments that I created. I do have access to all of my emails. But, you know, everything could have been fake, so we are going to just demonstrate them one after the other. So first one, we are going to send an email to this user called John Doe. So, and there has been a crash, the first one in the day. Where is it? So what OpenChange 1.0 has in particular, beside the crashes, is that we have, how do we call that? We have web services that Outlook 2010 and Exchange 2010 rely on to, where are you? Maybe this one? Oh, no. Where are you, little? Okay, I'm gonna try again. Not good, not this one. Okay, I know it's not this one. So it has to be, it has to be beside this. So let's do this. Let's do this. Okay, this one is okay. This one was okay. So no problem with it. Okay, I'm just gonna, if it crashes, restart it from here. Oh, it crashed. User account has been sent. D3EM single, and Python path equal user call symbol lib python 2.set zip packages. Sit. Ah, I know. Just tick. That should be okay. Okay. So we keep it this way. So we are going to send this email now. So to John Doe first, which is our user, actual user, this one. And if he wants it, I also have access to the list of the other user that I registered with it, this number 4 Active Directory. So let's take the administrator, which is supposed to work properly. First test, basic email, send it. Put in the outbox. Did it lose the connection? No, it didn't lose the connection. So that should be okay. Updating the folder. And the first mail comes in. Whew. Yes, first one. So where does the email go? It goes from the Sogo library to the POSFIX server. The POSFIX server looks within LDAP if the user belongs to the organization, and then process it and dispatch it to the DeWickelt mailbox. When it's dispatched to the DeWickelt mailbox, normally we should have a notification system, say from DeWickelt, hey, you have a new email, just update yourself. It works, it practically works with Outlook 2003 without major issues. It's a bit different with Outlook 2010, where there is an asynchronous RPC endpoints running, where Outlook has to subscribe, and we have not implemented this one. So that was a very basic email. Let's do another email, still for John Doe, just for John Doe. Pictures embedded, let's be crazy, with attachments, wow. So, picture embedded, let's take, insert picture, let's take Trish. And we are going to insert, attach some files. Let's take some sample pictures. That's the only stuff I have in here. Well, let's just take, okay. Should be okay. So email with picture embedded. Normally we could also have written it using RTF, and it would have been translated to HTML directly within the Sogo library before coming back. So we prevent from, so it's sending. If we look aside, we see that we have the, it's running with the print. So all of the, everything that goes in and out is dumped. So, but that not that slow. Okay, so that was sent. We just now update again. Lot of attachment, yeah. Tuk, 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 tuk. No, it's local. But I don't know, I think there's something like 4 or 5 megabytes that is just dumped on the output. Okay, so here it is. And just double click on it so we have it back. And just to get sure that, you know, it's not just a fake, we have a web UI client, a webmail, that is running directly on the DeWickelt. So we are going to this web UI. I go to my email, and I see all of my emails there too. So, that's it for, I mean, basic email. Thank you. We can obviously send to other users, and we are going to connect with another account, and we are going to see about all of this calendaring thing, the free buzzy implementation, and stuff like this, and the task. So let's just close Outlook and connect again, but this time I had added that. Let's even create a new profile just to get sure. So I'm going to create a profile named Administrator. I go directly to Manual Configuration, click on Microsoft Exchange Server, enter the IP address, go to the username, ADM, and in most settings, I want to specify the credential, otherwise I'm going to have access denied when I create my mailbox. Administrator and the password, I think it's this one. Okay, next, finish. Okay, now when I run Outlook again, it will create the mailbox or optimize it, so administrator and dash. And we're gonna see the profile creation of Outlook. Everything works. We have the cached mode implemented, which means that all of the data that the Outlook client is fetching from the OpenChange server is available when offline. And so it takes a little while to set up the mailbox properly, to update all of the different folders, synchronize all of the different messages, but we see things showing up one after the other. So I have my first test that I sent from John Doe and to administrator, and we have access to all of the different folders. So everything sent up today. So here is about the auto discover service that Outlook 2010 require when it tries to access the free buzzy thing. So where I have the SSL implemented, but obviously it doesn't really match the host name, so we just accept it. So things we can also do is with the calendaring thing. So I have a set of appointments here. The conference party, which ends really late. I think it even ends the 10 for me. Yeah. We can create appointments, and these appointments will show up also within the web UI. So let's take, let's create a new appointment right here at 4, Sunday XP 2010, location Göttingen, let's say from 4 to 5, and hello world, no big crash so far, everything's fine. Just save and close it. So I do have my appointment showing up here. I can update the folder, just to get sure it's synchronized properly with the Sogo backend. And once it's done, theoretically, if everything goes fine, it should show up within the administrator. Within its administrator calendaring, so I do have it here, starting at 7 to. And I can do my updates directly from the web UI, which means that in case, things can happen and OpenChange can crash. If it crashes, you don't lose your data. That are just stored, they are there, and if there's a bug, it can be fixed. And in any case, your data remains accessible from a webmail, which is, it can prevent from user from yelling too much for, the time we fix it. So let's just move it. I think we can even move it by just, So let's put it to now. I think it's 12:30, so that should be okay. Go back to the virtual machine, snooze, update my folder, and everything's processed properly. It should move. It didn't move. It was supposed to move. That's what people say. Maybe a little, give it a little time. I don't think I have to save it. I mean, maybe reload it. Ah, okay, it just moved it back. Okay, my bad. But normally I can just maybe just change everything. Not that fine. Maybe, maybe no. So we update it. Okay, it's moved and not that fine in the end. So it's working. Among other things that we have, and something that is really important for, I mean, for production, is the free buzzy thing. So how the free buzzy is working is that all of the clients, all of the users are pushing their free and buzzy time within normally the public folder, which you don't have on Exchange 2010, and now it's served by a web service, and this web service just returns the availability. And our web service are developed in Python using the Pylons framework, so everything goes to Pylons, and we are using the Samba 4 bindings to connect back to the Samba Active Directory and to the OpenChange databases to retrieve all of the information. So let's take a user, for example, John Doe. I love John Doe. And if I just click here, it should tell me if it's free, that John Doe is free for the next 8 hours. So if I had scheduled to set my appointment on the 9, today, between 12:15 and 2 p.m., that was okay, and it was working properly. So I can... Well, that's basically all for this. It's working. Okay, let's just save it, send an update. Send anyway, I don't care. We also have the support for the task, the calendaring. The calendaring, we show it, but let's say new contact. That's an interesting one. Let's create an Andrew Trigil contact. Company, well, job title, email, trich@samba.org. Use a nice picture. Wow, I have a picture. Cool. And just save it. So I do have my my card created here. I can update the folder just to get sure. And if I go directly within my address book or my contact, I have Andrew Trigil showing up with a picture. So... No, just like I could go, you know, for hours. I can play for hours with because it's the future. But you know, you can create things. I think you know, rather take time on speaking about the future. But you get the point. We can create tasks. We can create calendar entries, appointments. We can play with emails properly. So we have almost the basic framework that people are expecting from. Basic Exchange server. We have FreeBuzzy, so obviously there are always going to be some features that are missing at some point, but you know, we are willing to do everything necessary to go beyond that. So maybe it goes, and if you have questions next, you know, or if you want to test things to make it crash, you're really welcome. So about the limitation. Because there are limitations, not big limitations, but still limitations. It is required to run Samba 4 within a single process mode because there are some conflict with the IDs when you are registering, something internal to OpenChange, but it's not critical. I mean, we've been doing tests with Samba 4 and OpenChange with several users. It was working properly. We just don't know how many users it would support. At some point, if someone say it crashes, well, it crashes, we know the limit. The other thing, but which can be worked around in the future, most of it could have been avoided today, but it hasn't due to the time to set up the entire demo, is that there's a second LDAP server running. There's the Semaphore Active Directory with the LDAP server running on 389 port. And we have another LDAP server where we have all of the users and mailbox. Basically, that's really something that we could have moved directly. But at the moment, that's there too. So we have these two LDAP server, one on 3389 and the other on 389. About the folder operations, the semantics is implemented into OpenChange server, but in practice, it doesn't work well in SoGo at the moment. That's why I didn't try to create any subfolders. I didn't want to have another crash. And maybe that's a drawback for the moment. It's not really a drawback for the moment, but we don't really have management tools to administrate the server. But it's not a big deal for the moment because the operations that we have are really simple. And I'm going to make you a small demo of I want to add a new user to the entire framework and see how long it takes. But in the future, I mean, we only have one backend. In the future, I do expect to have not millions of backends, but at least to have several of them. And we are trying to work on the technology to let user implement more easily backends. We know how difficult it is for new developers to get into a project when they have to deal with complex C API. So we try, to just move the problem and say, okay, if people are more familiar with Python and if we can create the bindings necessary, since we have some kind of object management conception behind, and it fits with the Python model, then let's just do some Python for the backend. Even if it's slower, we don't really care about it. So maybe do the demo about the creation now. It's going to be funky. So do you see correctly, or do I need to improve the... it's OK, this one? So if I want to add my user, a brand new user, let's say I have John Smith. John Smith just got hired, like John Doe. In this current setup, I first need to add it to the LDAP, to the second LDAP. So I'm just going to copy, just do edit and call it johnsmith.ldif. Bah. Of course, I have the open chain. So we are going to edit John Smith. Ah, crap, it's John Smith. I could have prepared it, but it's not that fun next. Moreover, we can have some crashes if we add an extra space. I just wanted to get sure that, I don't have the extra space. So John Smith, blah, blah. John account. And it's going to be the mail, John Smith at somebody.xp, and blah, 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 for the record, John and Smith. And I think that's the most complex task at the moment, because adding it to Semaphore, adding the user to Semaphore, and extending the schema for OpenChange is really quick. So I think, yeah, I do have it. So I'm going to add my, extra space. Sorry, I need to be, take precaution with that, just to make sure that after the UID, and here how you avoid a crash. Oops, that's good. So I add my John Smith, password should be it, okay. Then I just set the password. Do I have it here? Okay. So I want to add a password, blah, 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 open change, some XP, and UID. It's John Smith. And by default, with the existing implementation, but it's just, the demo effect is that you need to have the same user and password, but that things that can be changed next, just that when we have a URI, it's easier to generate, to auto-generate. Okay. Localhost, and maybe specify the correct port. Okay. So that was for the SOGO part. So theoretically, if everything went fine, if I disconnect and just log in with my John Smith, I can log properly. So now I finish the setup by adding the user directly to OpenChange and Samba 4. So trunk, Samba 4, source 4, setup, it's here, before up, bin Samba tool, and sudo python path equal python path. New user, no, it's user add, John Smith. Okay, and I just need to extend it for OpenChange to work properly. So blah, 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 setup, OpenChange, new user, create, John Smith. What it does is it alters in root. Okay. And what it does is just adjust the MS X user account control thing and add some of the different fields that are required to create a mailbox. And that's basically all. So now I can go back to my virtual machine and close this. And I can create a new account that we are going to call John Smith. And this time, instead of using the manual configuration, we are going to use the auto-discovery. So John Smith, his email is johnsmith@sambaxp.local, and his password is John Smith. Okay, next.
So you have two users there.
Yeah.
Accounts there. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Absolutely, for the LDAP server. It's just that this backend had already a setup for their existing LDAP, and for some reason it doesn't work actually with a Samba 4, probably due to the user branch and stuff like this. So it probably requires some adjustment, but it's doable. It's just not the case, actually. So, my account is created. So now I can just open for John Smith, blah, blah. Okay, here you are. I didn't ask for the password. I'm at not sufficient permission. So, ship. Properties, email account, change. More settings, security, always prompt, pluck, close, and it's okay. John Smith, okay, and I want to use John Smith and John Smith. And I normally, at this point, I do have a running Outlook mailbox that can connect, basically everywhere. So I can just let it run in the background, and the mailbox from the vehicle is created automatically and stuff like that. We see all of the operation just here. I just take my Outlook lab again, go back to the slide. And something that we've been working for, the last month is about mobile connectivity. Because that was a real query about user, and you have two transport. The first one is ActiveSync, and the other one is RPC over HTTP and HTTPS. We've been doing preliminary investigation on how it worked and just figure out that really it was just only the transport, the HTTP transport that were changing, and within this transport, the MAPI, in the way we know it and deal with it, is the same. So that is something that we'll be working on in the future. It was just evaluating the different options. But there are other solutions out there, and really far from me doing some promotion to some commercial project, but here's the fact that there are other solutions, and some of them are, for example, good technology or the BlackBerry Enterprise Server that lets you connect to your Exchange server. And I've been working on a project that was involving where basically your good technology, you have your smartphone where you download the good application, and this good application is connecting for XML to HTTP and XML payload to some kind of NOC, and this NOC has a connection to your Insight Enterprise Exchange server for another service. So a service that runs on the same box than the Windows server or on a Windows server. And what does the main difference is that it doesn't use MAPI anywhere, but at the moment where you need to synchronize the mailboxes. And so we've been working on that, and that was really interesting because that was a completely different MAPI client than Outlook. So it had different needs, and it was relying obviously on the MAPI library from the Microsoft SDK. But they had some behavior that was not compliant with the specification. So we had to deal with it. And one of the things that was really interesting is that they have the way they have to update a smartphone, just not to have an overrun of network if you have thousands of users connected to the system, is that they are registering for notifications on the Exchange server saying, okay, on behalf of user John Doe, I would like you to tell me whenever you have a new mail, a new message, or a modified message. And whenever you have that, just send me a notification so I can send requests and retrieve the actual content. And the point is that in OpenChange, we do have this behavior, but we were not able to retrieve information from an external service. So let's say that I receive my email on my PostFix server. My PostFix server will redirect it to the DoveCode backend, to my IMAP mailbox, but I have no way to know that a new mail arrived. So one of the things we've been doing is between the PostFix and DoveCode services, we have the LDA protocol, and we have a plugin that is registered on the LDA protocol that just push a notification to a web service we implemented. So whenever I have a new email, it fetches all of the information, push a notification to a system, a web service in OpenChange. And from this web service, we are registering the message, send a UDP notification to Outlook to say, hey, you have something to fetch, and then Outlook starts the processing. And we have an internal communication between these web services and the OpenChange server for queues, the MQ from Linux that let us do things like this. So, the question we always have, well, you do have 1.0, is it production ready? Well, if the question is, has any big companies already deployed the software, the solution, the answer is, I think that may be confidential because we didn't hear from them yet. So if you try to deploy it, and if you deploy it, you may not be the first. But if you mention it, you will be the first official user of OpenChange server. So I'd be tempted to answer to this question by yes, it's production ready. I mean, we do have the basic features. One of the biggest concerns was what would happen. I mean, what is sensitive is the information. Are we supposed to lose information with the actual system? The answer is no. As long as the information is pushed onto the backends, it's available from the backends. So we don't have much worry about that. The only worry, as I say, is OpenChange crash on a regular basis because of a real crash. But we can know if we have crashes unless we have users. I mean, we can do tests, but a user and stressing the server is what we are expecting at the moment. So about the ideas that we have, one of them is the MAPI Store Python Gateway. So far, we are writing. We do have an experience from people writing a backend with a Java virtual machine. So they are launching a virtual machine in Java and communicate with the OpenChange server. SoGo is written in Objective-C, and we had backends written in C. The thing is that we have more and more problems finding developers accurate and that knows how to deal with C and C++ or Objective-C. So the easier if we want to write backends in no time is to have a Python gateway. So it starts to get working, more or less. Step by step, we are implementing new features and things like that. The other one is about having management tools. So far, only one backend, but in the future, I want to be able to have a Facebook backend, a Twitter account backend where I can push my notes or retrieve my contacts from LinkedIn and push an update on the wall. All of these nice Web 2.0 features that a user like and admin hates. That's something that we are willing to do because it's just like gathering services. So in the end, if you have your Facebook contact or your LinkedIn contact and you just want to move them from one backend to the other, you can just do it. And that is really cool. So it's just about extending the pluggable service stack. About projects and collaboration. Well, so far we had OpenChange was just a project. It tends to become a product in terms of the features that we are providing. So several years ago, I presented a proof of concept called Mockerbox at Samba XP, which was the mix of an Asterisk server and OpenChange client libraries. And so you were able to call on your phone, send a message, and the message was dispatched to the Exchange user mailbox. So there are stuff to do about here. Also, if you have ideas, there can be really good ideas out there. So, or if you have projects that, even just an idea you want to discuss.
To make any Linux-based email client completely compatible with an Exchange server.
Yeah.
Do you know if anyone's taken that and added it to Evolution or Thunderbird or any of those to have them speak MAPI?
I don't think so for the moment. I know that we have a strong relationship with Evolution MAPI.
Mm-hmm.
What
about the Mozilla folks?
We've been discussing with the Mozilla folks a while ago, and Exchange connectivity wasn't one of their primary objectives.
Oh. Okay. What can you say to that?
Okay, thank you. Any more? One more here.
So, yeah, I think that was really impressive to see the progress. We've seen you speaking in the last couple of years, and I was really thrilled to see the 1.0 release fairly recently. And this is completely nice. Of course, on the usability side, the management side, there is something to do, but I think the main point here is really that the Outlook client can attach to that server without any connector, right? The most of the Linux-based groupwares need some connector plugin that you need to load. So the user experience for the Windows side is awesome. And am I right in that the Sogo backend is, for instance, the groupware that is completely free? No fees, license fees to that, and so on.
Yeah, when we started the relationship, there were their code was released under GPL v2. And we make them change, and they agreed to change, obviously, to GPL v3 or later. So we have a complete stack of GPL v3 or later.
So if that combination, let's say, grows a little more mature and more usable, that will be an awesome open source combination with...
Exactly. And we just demonstrate with Duvecote, but I know that they are using extensively Osiris SASL for this part of a project, and some of them are using MySQL. So just like that, all of the different components that we have at the bottom that store information, you can just adapt them to work with your existing infrastructure.
And this is also OpenChange Resonance as a server component inside Samba 4 server. This is also very interesting, of course. And I've seen, when I looked recently, that there are these pre-created virtual machine images. I think that's worth mentioning here. So if one wants to experiment, this is a lot of stuff to install and configure, but you can just download your zero-effort groupware stuff. That's really, really very good, very good effort.
You have virtual machines ready to be deployed and be tested from the Sogo website on sogo.nu. And we also have, for people who just don't trust virtual machines, that can happen. I don't blame you. We have this step-by-step grid let you know, I mean, from the moment you download your Ubuntu ISO to the moment that you are running your system, it completely guides you for all of the different steps to make it work. So in the end, whether you want to do the geek way or if you want to do it the quick way, you can